It's Wednesday, March 11th, and welcome to Higher IQ. On Monday, Live Nation, the parent company of Ticketmaster, settled its antitrust case with the Department of Justice. The government had sued to break the company up. Instead, Live Nation agreed to let venues use competing ticketing platforms, divest 13 amphitheaters, and set aside $280 million for state damage claims. That sounds like a lot until you learn that $280 million is about 4 days of Live Nation's annual revenue. They'll make it back by Friday. New York's attorney general refused to sign on, calling it a deal that benefits Live Nation at the expense of consumers. Today, we're going to explain how Ticketmaster actually makes money, because the answer isn't what most people think. And once you understand it, you'll see why every fee on your ticket exists, who's really getting paid, and why the settlement probably won't change much. To understand Ticketmaster, you have to go back to 1967, when a company called Ticketron built the first computerized ticketing system. Instead of standing in line at the venue, you could buy tickets at kiosks connected to a central server. Ticketron charged venues for the privilege of using this system. The service fee to the buyer was about 50 to 75 cents per ticket. It was a straightforward arrangement. The technology costs money, and the buyer pays a small convenience charge. Then in the 1980s, a guy named Fred Rosen took over a small competitor called Ticketmaster and completely flipped the model. Rosen's insight was that venues, not fans, were the real customer. Instead of charging venues to use the system, he offered to pay them. Ticketmaster would give venues a cut of the service fees collected from ticket buyers in exchange for exclusive ticketing contracts. The venues got guaranteed income. Ticketmaster got a monopoly on every ticket sold in those buildings. It was an offer venues couldn't refuse, and Ticketron couldn't compete. Ticketmaster bought Ticketron in 1991. Over time, concert promoters wanted a piece of the fees too. Then top-tier artists started negotiating for a share. The service charge kept growing because everyone in the supply chain was getting a cut, and the only person paying was the fan. That's how Ticketmaster got built, Rosen said in an interview, where everybody had a piece. Today, service fees on a Ticketmaster purchase average around 30% of the ticket's face value. But most of that money doesn't go to Ticketmaster. The venue typically gets about two-thirds of the service charge, plus a separate facility fee that Ticketmaster collects on the venue's behalf. Ticketmaster keeps roughly 5 to 7% of the ticket price. Their actual profit per ticket, after covering their costs, is closer to 2%. This is the part that surprises people. The company everyone blames for high fees is keeping a relatively small slice. The fee is high because it's being split among half a dozen parties, and the fan is subsidizing all of them in a single line item labeled service fee. That doesn't make the fee acceptable. It makes the fee a structural problem. Because the reason nobody competes with Ticketmaster on price isn't that Ticketmaster charges too much. It's that the fee pays the venue, and the venue chose Ticketmaster specifically because it offered the highest cut. A competitor would have to offer the venue an even better deal, which means either charging fans even more or operating at a loss. The exclusive contracts lock this in. Until Monday's settlement, venues that tried to use a different ticketing platform risked losing access to Live Nation's concert tours. And Live Nation promotes more tours than anyone else in the world. The leverage was total. That brings us to the merger that created the real problem. In 2010, Live Nation and Ticketmaster merged into Live Nation Entertainment. Before the merger, Live Nation was the world's biggest concert promoter. Ticketmaster was the dominant ticketing platform. Combining them created a company that promotes the tours, manages many of the artists, owns or operates major venues, and runs the ticketing. For an artist trying to book a tour, the paths all lead back to the same company. For a venue trying to sell tickets, the choice is Ticketmaster or risk losing access to the biggest tours. As one former music industry executive put it, your choice becomes do a deal with them and do this tour, or don't and don't tour. The FTC found that Ticketmaster controls roughly 80% of major concert venue ticketing. That's not a market share, that's a lock. The merger came with a consent decree, a set of rules that were supposed to prevent anti-competitive behavior. In 2019, the DOJ accused Live Nation of violating it. The consent decree was extended. Then, in 2022, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour presale crashed Ticketmaster's system, leaving millions of fans in virtual queues for hours while tickets sold out. The public outrage led to Senate hearings and eventually the 2024 antitrust lawsuit filed by the DOJ and 39 states. Now the resale market. This is where the economics get especially frustrating. Ticketmaster doesn't just sell tickets on the primary market. It also operates a resale marketplace where people can list tickets they've already purchased, often at a significant markup. When a ticket is resold, Ticketmaster collects fees again. Sellers typically pay 10 to 15%. Buyers pay a service fee that averages around 27% of the resale price and can go as high as 37%. So Ticketmaster profits on the original sale and profits again on the resale. The higher the resale price, the higher the fee, because it's calculated as a percentage. A scalper who lists a $100 ticket for $300 generates more fee revenue for Ticketmaster than the original sale did. And the resale system has its own problems. Resellers on Ticketmaster's platform can hold tickets until as little as 1 hour before the event. If you buy from a reseller, you might not receive your tickets until right before the show starts. Ticketmaster's terms technically protect the buyer with a guarantee, but the experience of refreshing your app an hour before a 6 o'clock show, wondering if your tickets will appear, exists because the platform has no competitive pressure to fix it. When you control 80% of the market, the buyer's experience is a lower priority than the seller's willingness to list. Monday's settlement requires Live Nation to end exclusive venue contracts and let venues work with competitors like SeatGeek and StubHub. That's meaningful. It also requires the divestiture of 13 amphitheaters, but the core structure remains intact. Live Nation still owns the promotion, the artist management, major venues, and Ticketmaster. The settlement addresses some of the symptoms, but not the architecture. The $280 million in damages is a rounding error for a company with annual revenue north of $25 billion. And the fact that Live Nation recently added Richard Grenell, one of President Trump's closest advisors, to its board, just months before the settlement was negotiated, drew immediate concern from antitrust advocates about how the deal was reached. The honest takeaway isn't that Ticketmaster is uniquely evil. It's that the system was built from the beginning to serve venues and promoters, not fans. The fan was always the one paying for everyone else's cut. The merger with Live Nation just removed the last competitive check on that system. And Monday's settlement, while better than nothing, didn't fundamentally change who the customer is. Until another company can offer venues a better deal than Ticketmaster does, or until fans have a genuine alternative for the shows they want to see, the fee structure stays, because the fee is the product. For fans, a few things are worth knowing. Buying tickets at the venue box office, where one still exists, often avoids the service fee and the order processing fee. The facility fee usually still applies, but you can save 15 to 20% on a typical ticket. If you're buying resale, compare prices across platforms. Ticketmaster, StubHub, and SeatGeek often have the same tickets at different total prices because their fee structures differ. And if a resale ticket on Ticketmaster says the transfer window closes 1 hour before the event, understand that you may not receive the ticket until that deadline. That's not a glitch. That's the system working as designed for the seller, not for you. 50 cents in 1975, 30% of face value in 2026. The service fee started as the cost of a computerized ticketing system and became the price of a monopoly that pays everyone in the concert industry except the person buying the ticket. Monday's settlement keeps Live Nation and Ticketmaster together, opens the door to competition at the venue level, and costs the company about 4 days of revenue. Whether that changes your next ticket purchase is an open question, but now you know where the money goes. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.